right. Thank you. You may be seated. Take your Bible tonight to the book of Mark, Mark chapter 2, if you would. It's good to have Brother Oftedal here tonight. We missed him this morning, and so we're glad he could be here tonight. I'll remind you, keep praying for Brother Todd. I didn't mention this morning, also pray for Terry and Kathy Dunn. They need your prayer. They're in a situation that they need God's help, and I wish you'd pray for them. And somebody asked me this morning, preacher, are they ever coming back to church? Well, I sure hope so, all right? Well, just going through a valley and going through a difficult time, and they need your prayer, and I want you to pray for them, all right? I want you to pray for them. As I said, they're not fighting each other. They're not, on the outs. They're not mad at anybody here in church. They're just going through a trial, all right? And you pray for them, if you would. All right, you're there in Mark chapter 2. Seemed like there was something else I wanted to remind you about. Well, nothing else. Pay attention tonight, okay? Verse 1, and again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born afore. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. I'm going to leave off reading right there. I want to draw your attention tonight to the first five words of verse 10. Notice those first five words, but that ye may know. But that ye may know. It's real early, once again, real early in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what he was saying and what he was doing was new to everybody that was hearing it. I mean, they, as they said there in verse 12, we never saw it on this fashion. All right, this was new stuff going on that was happening. And, it surprised them. Now, the devils knew about him. We saw that back in Mark chapter 1, verse 24. The devils knew him. They knew who he was. They knew what he could do. And they weren't excited. They were not amazed. They knew who he was and his abilities. But the people themselves didn't. We need to remind ourselves pretty often, okay, when we read in the Bible and see what's happening to folks in the Word of God, we need to read the Bible and remind ourselves that these folks in the Scriptures did not have the Scriptures as we do today. To be honest with you, we shouldn't be surprised at anything God does, because we know his power, we know his ability, and we know it's all unlimited, so we shouldn't be surprised. But these folks didn't have the Scriptures. You say, well, wait a minute, preacher. They had the Old Testament Scriptures. Maybe. But not as convenient as we do. And nowhere near convenient. Look, you want a copy of the Word of God? You can get one. That's not a problem. If you're here and don't have one, say, I can't afford one. Hey, we'll get you one. It's not. It's real easy. They're printed all the time. I was reading the paper from the Bible Literature and Missionary Foundation out of Shelbyville, Tennessee. And they've printed like something like 1.9 million this year's scriptures or scripture portions, all right? This year. Hey, it's available. You can get the Bible. You and I sitting here, we don't have a problem. We've got access to the scriptures. In that day, they didn't have. If they had something, you remember it was a scroll. They didn't have a book. It wasn't there. It wasn't as easy. It wasn't accessible, all right? We have it. It's convenient. So it was important that folks knew that Jesus Christ could do what he could do. I want you to see that. And we see those words, that ye may know. Now, he had said, you know, thy sins be forgiven thee. But then he said, that ye may know I can do that. I'm going to show you something else that you can see, that ye may know. Now, I believe this evening, and I want you to think of that phrase, that ye may know, and we're going to try to relate all of this passage of Scripture to that fact, that ye may know. But I want you to see we have a part. We have a part. All right? You say, what do you mean? Well, first of all, look in verse 3. Verse 3, the Bible says, and they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. Can I say this to you? If the world's going to know, there has to be some participation. There has to be some participation. All right? Somebody's got to participate. Go back and look at the end of verse 1. See, verse 1, it was noised that he was in the house. But then notice immediately what verse 2 says. And straightway many were gathered together. Why? Somebody participated. He said, preacher, what are you talking about? It was noised abroad. How do you think it was noised abroad? Man, there wasn't a television station covering it. There wasn't a radio. Nobody got out their cell phone and filmed it and spread it through Twit, Chatter, Chump, whatever else is out there, all right? It didn't happen like that. It was noised abroad. That means people participated. Somebody spoke up and said, hey, Jesus is in that house. And somebody else told somebody else, and the word spread, and boy, immediately the house filled up and so much that couldn't anybody else get in. But there was participation. These four men got together to get their friend to Jesus. That was just plain and simple. By the way, you're not going to go home tonight saying I couldn't understand the message. It's going to be on the bottom shelf, all right? Hey, there needs to be some participation. Somebody needs to get worried and concerned about somebody else. We just need to get concerned, all right? These four men said, this guy's got a need, and we believe if we can get him to Jesus Christ, something will happen. Why? Because they had already heard the ministry of Jesus was short, but man, over and over in chapter 1, the Bible told us people were brought to him, they were healed, devils were cast out, and I mean, the word got around. So those four said, we're going to participate. We're going to help out, all right? Now, and they got together on it. Now, it doesn't always take four. Doesn't always take four. Go to John chapter 1, all right? It doesn't always take four. So I don't want you to get the idea, say, well, if I just had three people to help me. No, it doesn't always take four, okay? It's not a requirement that you have to have four. John chapter 1, look down in verse 40, would you? John chapter 1, verse 40, the Bible said, one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, we found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. How many? One. One. Doesn't always take four. All right? Now, years ago, there was a guy called Eddie Fainter. That was his name. Eddie Fainter was the greatest softball pitcher that's ever lived. Eddie Fainter had a team. It was called the King and His Court. Four-man softball team. And they took four men and whipped their... I mean, they won so many more than they lost that it's not even funny, all right? And just those four guys. And they did it. You say, well, I can't do it by myself. Wait a minute, you ain't playing softball. You're not playing softball. We're talking about getting somebody to Jesus. Talking about getting somebody to Jesus. Hey, those four brought the man sick of palsy. But Andrew said, I'm by myself, but I can get my brother. I can get my brother. I can reach him. I can go after him. I'll be by myself. Look, if other folks are going to know, then it takes the participation of those who do know. Was that too complicated? If other folks are going to know, it takes the participation of those who do know to get others to Jesus Christ. We've got to participate, all right? We've got to be involved. You say, well, I'm shy. Okay, then shyly do so. Well, I don't have the gift of gab. Well, go without the gift. Tell your friends. Hey, you got any friends? Tell your friends. Tell your neighbors. Tell your neighbors. Just, hey, here they are. Tell your coworkers. Talk to your family members. Talk to your family members. See, we're just talking about participation. Okay? Participation. When I was a kid in school, I mean young kid, I hated PE with a passion. I hated PE so bad when I was first in the first grade in Vidalia, we didn't have that foolishness. We had recess. You went outside and you climbed up, you slid down the slide, you swung on the swings, you chased each other around the playground, threw rocks at okay, we tried not to do that. We just fooled, you know, we just had a good time. Moved to Florida and they had this goofy thing at PE. And man, I loved it so much when it's time for PE, I'd hide. He said, preacher, really? Yeah, really. I hated it. I'd hide. They'd have to hunt me down and invite me. It wasn't an invitation usually. It was a command. I just had to be hunted down. I didn't want to participate. I didn't want to. Didn't like to. And didn't enjoy it. Hated the whole deal. All right, but I mean, that's the way it was. And I had to get after it. Somebody had to encourage my participation, all right? Hey, listen, when it comes to getting people to the Lord Jesus Christ, God uses us who know to go after those who do not know. Do not know. Now, look, I'll get ahead of myself. All right, first of all, got to have participation, all right? Then look at verse 4, the Bible said, and when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. When they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. Hey, we need participation, and sometimes we need innovation. We need innovation. When faced with the problem of the crowd, they could not get their friend through those people. And so they said, okay, let's take him home. Looks like he ain't going to make it. No, they didn't do that. They didn't give up. They looked for another route. Said, we can't go through the door. We'll go on top. We'll go down through the roof. We'll open it up. Now, I don't know about you, but I got an imagination. I can think about what's going on in the Bible. And I'll be honest with you. One of the things I've thought of every time I read this story is what the guy think that owned the house. Amen. I'm not sure he would have invited Jesus if it meant he was going to get his roof tore open, all right? I don't know. I don't know how easy it was to fix him. I'm not, you know, not sure about all of that, but I do wonder about it. But those four guys said, you know, we're not going to worry about that. We'll deal with that after. Maybe they had the philosophy, some of you do, it's easier to get forgiveness than it is to get permission. Some of you are built that way, I know, all right? And so that's what they did. So they opened the roof up. They let him down. There was some innovation. Now, today, we call that kind of action thinking outside the box, right? Sometimes it takes that, all right? we might need to get a little bit innovative when getting the truth to people. We just need to do it. I'll be honest, door knocking nowadays since COVID is a whole lot different than it was before COVID. Man, people are not friendly. When they have a sign on their porch or on their door says welcome, it doesn't necessarily mean you're welcome. If sometimes if I get people to answer the door, I'm telling them, you'll take that sign down. But, I've tried to think, man, how could we, maybe we could start a fire in their front yard. I don't know. But some way we need to get a little bit innovative about it. I'll never forget Curtis Hudson one time talking about he was out trying to witness some folks, and they really wouldn't let him open the Bible. He asked, could I open the Bible and show it? And they said, no, we don't have time, we don't have time. And so he's trying every way he could. And finally he said, all right, would you let me pray before I leave? And they said, well, I guess that'd be okay. So when he started praying, he said, now, Lord, thank you for the opportunity to be here. And Lord, I'm so glad. It's a sad fact, but it is a fact. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Lord, that's a bad position it puts us all in. But on the other hand, I'm so glad that Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God. He said he prayed them the plan of salvation. Look, that's innovation, all right? That's innovation. Do it a little bit different. Do something. Come up with an idea that says we're going to work at it a little bit different, all right? I mean, whatever it takes. We have the tendency to look for the obstacle and say, I can't do it. But instead, we need to look for the solution to the problem. The solution to the problem. When we were kids, my brother and I, we had these cousins, my uncle's two boys. Dad had two boys, my uncle had two boys. And we played probably 50,000 games of football in our life. At least. Every time we got together, we played football. Sometimes we didn't have a football and we used a Dixie cup filled with rocks. He said, you're kidding. No, we put rocks in the Dixie cup, folded that thing or stuck it inside another Dixie cup. And you can play football with a cup filled with rocks, all right? You say, why'd you do it? Innovation. Plus, we didn't have a football, all right? And so we played. It was me and my cousin Tommy against my brother and my other cousin Donnie. Now, but we had one rule. He couldn't run. He couldn't run. You say, why? He's the biggest. He is the biggest. We couldn't tackle him. And I mean, you know, we knew that. He'd run over us. So we had to have that rule. But we were playing one time. We didn't have that rule. And he took off running. And I thought, well, he ain't going to score. But I knew if I duck my head, I'm going to get my head knocked blah-blah-ly. So rather than ducking my head, I jumped and stuck my two legs in between his legs. And he fell. And I rubbed my legs for about 20 minutes because they hurt like all get out, all right? But it was innovation. We had to do something, all right? Had to do something. So it took that effort. Our problem is we look at the obstacle and we figure, I can't do anything. We'll just have to let it go. But we need to look for that solution instead. Look, there will be times that you can't talk to people. They won't let you. So you try to give them a track. Try to give them a track. We've got John Romans. We try to put those in people's hands. I tell people, look, hey, we'd like to give you a gift from our church. That's the first thing I try to do. If I can get that gift in your hand, because when I start witnessing, they may run me off, but they've already got that gift, and hopefully they'll read it. He said, what are you getting at, preacher? I'm saying we need a little innovation sometimes. Look for something different. Look for a different way. Instead of being stopped by it. And we go to gated communities. Usually it's not the community now. It's just maybe an apartment complex. And usually if you'll hang around long enough, somebody will come in, punch the code, and you can drive in behind them. And you say, well, what are you going to tell people? Somebody said, how'd you get in? I'm going to say, we came in the gate. So, yeah, well, who gave you permission? Preacher did. Well, who gave him permission? He didn't have permission. He had a command. He was told to do it. Look, can I tell you, we look for obstacles. We can't do that. Now, I don't know if this is the wisest thing in the world, but I don't stop just because I have a no soliciting sign. I go ahead and knock on the door. What are they going to do? Get mad? So, well, they may cuss you out. I've been cussed out before. That won't be the first time. Man, look, we need to realize that. I've knocked on some doors, and they open the door, and I say, man, I'm from First Baptist Church, and, you know, I see that no soliciting sign. I want you to know, I hope that doesn't upset you. And I've had people say, I didn't even know that was there. I've had people tell me that. Now, I'm just saying to you, let's do everything we can. Let's participate, and let's have some innovation. And sometimes God give you a revelation. Look, if you will, in verse 5. Look, if you will, in verse 5. Notice what God says. When Jesus saw their faith. When he saw their faith. It was the faith, I think, of those four that Jesus saw. Not necessarily the faith of the man with the palsy. Now, maybe the man with the palsy had that faith too. And maybe he recruited the four guys to bring him. We don't know. We don't know. But the Lord saw their faith. And it was the faith that God decided to bless. And can I say this to you? It is faith that God still promises to bless. It's faith that he promises to bless. It's faith that moves mountains. Moves mountains. Now, I don't believe there's any reason for me and you to go to Jackson, Wyoming and say, Lord, we're trusting you to move that Grand Teton. Just move it over here. There's no reason for that. No reason for that in the world. But boy, faith can move mountains and make changes for us if we can just show God we've got that faith. We can just show him, Lord, here I am. Just see our faith. God's not promised to bless our well-reasoned argument. God has not promised to bless our well-reasoned argument or our slick presentation. Not at all. If I were to ask you, there's some of you tonight, you'd raise your hand in honesty. I'm not going to ask. But if I were to ask, and if you were honest, there's several, I believe you'd raise your hand and say, Preacher, I'm just a little bit leery. I don't feel like I know how to witness to somebody well enough, and I don't know the steps to go through. Can I say this to you? You don't have to go through steps. It's not our well-reasoned argument. It's not that at all. It's our faith that we're doing what God wants us to do. It is our faith that we're doing what God wants us to do. And if we'll simply put our faith in him as we do our best to bring other people to him, I believe God will reward that faith. I believe God still rewards faith. I believe he'd see that. He'd look down upon us and say, okay, we can help you out. That's what the Bible said there. When he saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But here's where the problem comes in. You read verse 6. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? Can I say this to you? Anytime you decide you're going to try to do something for God to reach people with the gospel, there will be critics. There's going to be criticism. There, you're going to run into it. Amen. When Jesus was on this earth, there was much criticism. There was much doubt directed his way. If it wasn't the scribes, it was the Pharisees. If it wasn't the Pharisees, it was the Sadducees. If it wasn't the Sadducees, it was the priest. If it wasn't the priest, it was somebody else, all right? There was always somebody quick to criticize, quick to find fault, and quick to say, who does he think he is? And you're going to find people going to ask you that. Who do you think you are? What do you think? Man, you can just go out and you tell people, you know, you're just holier than everybody else. No, 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 no. Hey, you know what? I just want to tell you, one of the greatest things you can do when you're out trying to get people to Christ is to be honest. To be honest. And you face those critics. You don't have to be able to answer every question. There's nothing wrong with saying, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. I still have people ask questions of me that I say, I don't know. Sometimes I don't even know what they're talking about in the question. What are you saying? A man, you know, I'm out. I don't have the foggiest idea. There's nothing wrong with us being honest, but we're going to face some critics, and here's where people get bogged down. We get afraid we can't answer the critic. We get afraid, man, I can't handle this, and I don't know what to do, so it causes people to quit, and it causes people to never even start helping folks to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we feel like I'm incapable. I'm just not qualified. I'm not the one. You don't have to answer every argument. Don't have to do it. You say, what I do? You do your best to get scriptures to people. You do your best to get them the Word of God. Get them the Word of God. You say, well, I can't memorize scripture. And get a track in your hand and open it up and say, here's what it says right here. You can read. Now, it helps if you develop the ability to read upside down. All right? So if you can show them the track and they're looking at it and you can read it upside down. Now, you can do that, all right? I'm thinking dyslexic people might read better that way. I don't know, you know. But, I mean, there's a way to do things. And just you do your best to get the scripture to people. God, look. God didn't promise, as I said, to bless our slick argument, our wonderful presentation, our three or four steps or anything. God didn't promise to bless that. What he promised to bless was his word, and we need to let his word do the work in the hearts of men. The reason we have scripture signs in yards is because people drive by and read the scripture, and that scripture can bring conviction in the heart of man. Just the word of God can do that. All right, so we do it. So you do your best to do that. God's promised in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11, that his word will not return unto him void. So you do your best to get the gospel out. Hey, can I say this? We don't get discouraged because they're critics. You don't get discouraged because people you witness to don't say yes to Jesus. You're doing your part. Remember where the Bible said some people planted, some people watered, but God gives the increase. God gives the increase. Hey, those four men that brought that man with palsy, they were doing their best to get him there. They were doing their best to get him in front of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's all we can do. That's all we can do. We cannot make anybody get saved. By the way, if you twist their arm and get them to pray a prayer just to get rid of you, they didn't get saved, they got rid of you. So I'm saying, don't think that's the thing to do, but I'm saying to you, hey, we've given this obligation. Why? That ye may know. That ye may know. Hey, aren't you glad you found out? Aren't you glad somebody somewhere told you? Somebody somewhere told you. Somebody brought you. You say, well, I got saved because my parents went to church. They brought me to church. Good. You ought to thank God for parents that brought you to church. And thank God for a teacher that taught you the Bible. Thank God for a preacher that preached the Bible. Nowadays, you can go to a lot of churches and never hear a Bible message. Never hear anything about that. I'll never forget that night I was able to witness and win a fellow to the Lord right over here. I'd prayed, Lord, I've been knocking on doors. I'd really like a little encouragement. And so if you don't mind, would you encourage me a little bit? Get discouraged. Knocked on the door, and this guy come to the door. I knew he was Marine because he had the sticker on the back of his truck. Began to talk to him. Man, God had him ready. But you know what? He went to church. But nobody ever told him how to get saved. Nobody told him how to get saved. He was ready to get saved. Hey, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying to you, it's our job to tell people. It's our job to get them to Jesus. Any method you have. Any method you have. Now, I will say this to you. The more scripture you can get, the better off you're going to be. The more scripture you can learn, the better off you'll be. You can't quote them the scripture if you don't know the scripture. Curtis Hudson prayed that, plan of salvation because he knew the scripture. You can learn the scripture. You can learn the scripture. And whatever you have to do, put it to a tune if you have to. Say, preacher, how long did it take you to memorize those songs? We sing. I've had people say, preacher, you never open the songbook, you sing. I say, yeah, I sing a lot of wrong words too, but I'm still having a good time. And you say, how'd you learn those songs? I never sit down to memorize those songs, never. But I've heard them over and over and over again. And so I'm familiar with them, all right? Hey, you get in the Word of God, and you get over and over and over again. You learn those verses so you can tell people. Hey, it just takes a little participation. It may mean just a little bit of innovation. It takes God giving some revelation. And yes, you're going to run into critics. But wait a minute, look at verse 8, would you? Verse 8, and immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reason within themselves, that's the critics, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Chickens, why don't you say it? That's what I feel like saying right there, all right? But then he said, whether it is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk? He said, now you decide which one's easier. But then he says, that ye may know. That ye may know. All right? That ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Hey, what he did for the sick of the palsy was so they knew he had power to forgive sins. It wasn't just to restore that man's health. It was so they would know he had power to forgive sins. Because that's the important thing. Go back up to verse 2. You see what verse 2 says at the end of that verse? He preached the word unto them. He preached the word unto them. There wasn't a church in those days. You said there was a synagogue. Yeah, but you didn't preach in the synagogue, but you could teach in the synagogue. But where his preaching was done is out in the open or is done in somebody's house. And he preached the word unto them. Why? That ye may know. That ye may know. And he said, you figure it out. Is it easier to say thy sins be forgiven thee or take up your bed and walk? Now, which one you think is easiest to say? The truth of the matter is we can see it if he takes that bed up and walks. But if he said, thy sins be forgiven thee, we don't see that. Now, not until later. That's another message, okay? But man, we see it if he takes up that bed and walks. And God spoke to that man and he said, you say, I say unto thee in verse 11, arise, take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. I'll be honest with you. I think the intention and everything else there is thy sins be forgiven thee. Because he was in the business of forgiving sins. Hey, when man does all that he can do, it's still up to the Lord to redeem, to save, and in this case, to heal. That's God's business. My business is to get people to Jesus. Your business is to get people to Jesus. It's you. That's our job, is to get it to them, all right? To get it to them. And it doesn't matter how we go about it. These four men got together. They cared enough to do a little work to get their friend to the Lord Jesus Christ. Then the Lord rewarded their faith by making their friend whole. All right, making him whole. Look, don't you think he'd do the same for you when it comes to the soul of people you love and you care about? I do. Listen, if you say, well, I just can't go up to a rank stranger and witness to them, all right? How about people you know, your friends, your family? I'll be honest with you, I think it's easier to talk to a rank stranger sometimes than it is to talk to your own family. It's just easier. But I mean, hey, what's our reasoning? We get people to Jesus Christ. More people would get saved if we had worked harder to get them to the Lord Jesus Christ. More people would get saved if we'd just work harder to get them there. But we have not because we ask not. We don't work at it. We don't put the effort in. We can make every excuse under the sun, but we just don't work at it hard enough. If we'd work at it hard enough, we'd do a better job. Now, it doesn't have to be a formal setting, okay? I don't know how to say this anymore, but we talk to people about all kinds of stuff. We talk to people. You talk to coworkers about all kinds of stuff. I mean, you know, you swap. Cowboys will be playing, we'll talk about the Cowboys. The Rangers are playing, we talk about the Rangers. The Mavericks are playing, we talk about the Mavericks. The Stars are playing, and we talk about the Cowboys. And, you know, we've got our thoughts. We talk about things, all right? We talk about all kinds of stuff. We talk about the weather. Man, it's hot. Woo, it's hot. Yeah. But hell's a lot harder. Look, all I'm saying, it doesn't have to be a formal setting. I'm pleading with you tonight to see that you may know, that your friends may know, that this world may know. Well, they're not going to know unless those of us who do know tell them. Now, we're waiting on somebody else to do it. We're waiting on somebody else to do it. Well, somebody else is not going to do it. Well, we're the ones. We've got the answer. We know. We know. I tell people I'm having trouble with my diabetes. Everybody comes out of the woodwork with a cure. I'll never forget. I've asked you to pray for James Knox, pastors in DeLand, Florida. One of his members is out of his church, a missionary, the Jensen family in the Navajo Nation, out of his church, and asked you to pray for him. He had cancer, and I'll never forget when he put it online, he said, now, please don't bombard me with your cure. Because everybody does. My friend today called me on the phone. I told him, he said, yeah, I've been having trouble with that. And he said, well, I'll tell you what, in the morning you get up and have a good breakfast. Now, y'all going to think I'm kidding what I'm fixing to say, but I'm telling you exactly what he told me. He said, you get up in the morning, you have a good breakfast, then you don't eat for the next 10 days. He said, drink a lot of water. He said, you can live for 21 days without eating. And said, then after that 10 days, you get up and you eat two meals and then don't eat for 9 days. Everybody's got a remedy. Everybody's got something. But wait a minute. We do have the remedy. We have the remedy for sin. We know the answer. We've got it. We need to be the ones to tell people. We just need to be the ones to tell people. Do you understand that? We tell them the answer. Man, I stubbed my toe. We'll do this. It'll fix it. Man, you know, I've got a blister on my foot. Do this, it'll fix it. We got a cure. You know, do this. Stand on the other foot. Don't, you know, whatever. We've got a cure. But we do have the cure for the problem of sin. We know the Savior. God, help us to open our eyes, to roll up our sleeves and go to those in need and get them to the one who can do it all. I'm pleading with you. I can't save them. You can't save them. I can't save anybody. You can't save anybody. But we do know the one who can. We do know the one who can. Oh, that we could just get involved, that ye may know. That ye may know. Now look, folks, I told you, you weren't going to go home tonight and say, such a great theological discussion we heard. No, it's simple. Nothing difficult about it. Nothing confusing. None of you here are confused about what I'm talking about. If you are, talk to me after church. There's nothing hard to understand. We preach the Christ that preached to men so that ye may know. We want people to know. We want people to know. If we just care, we want them to know. Will you just pray about it? Would you get concerned enough about it to say, Lord, help me? When I say pray about it, I don't want you to go home and pray as a preacher telling us the truth. It's in the book, him telling you the truth. You don't have to pray about that. But would you pray and say, Lord, would you just help me? Would you just help me to be about this business of talking to people, getting the gospel to them any way I can, every way I can, every way I can, whatever you need to do. Just put a little effort into it. Well, people will think what does it matter what they think? Hey, listen, anybody that's going to get saved going to think you're the best friend they ever had. Anybody that gets saved going to think you're the best friend they ever had. Hands down. And you've done what you need to do. Hey, listen, God's called us. The world needs to know. We know. We know. But who are we telling? Who are we telling? It's in our hands. What are we doing with it? Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray you to help us tonight. Lord, it's simple thought, but Lord, it is a simple truth. People can know if other people will tell them. Lord, it was noised abroad that you were in the house and people showed up. Lord, if we'll just get the message out that people may know, just keep telling, keep witnessing, keep handing out tracts. Lord, just everything we can. Talking to friends, to neighbors,